Let us pray. God of love, speak your word to lead all who are lost and seeking the way. Speak your healing word to all who are hurting and alone. Speak your reconciling word to those who are not at peace. Speak your life-giving word to us and bring us close to you. Amen. A reading from 2 Corinthians. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to God through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to God, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making this appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel in the 15th chapter. Luke tells us that tax collectors and sinners were coming near to Jesus to listen to him, and Pharisees and scribes were grumbling about that, saying, "He receives sinners and he eats with them." And so Jesus tells them three parables. Luke tells us about the parable of the shepherd who loses a sheep and a woman who loses a coin. And then this one. Jesus says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said, "Father, give me my share of the property that is to come to me." So he did. He divided it between them. And a couple days later, the younger son departed for a distant country where he spent all of his property in dissolute living. And when he had spent everything he had, a severe famine came upon that land so that he was in great need. And so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the field to feed the pigs. He's Jewish. Not a good idea. And he would gladly have eaten the pods that were being fed to the pigs, but nobody gave him anything. And when he finally came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? And here I am dying of hunger. I will go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And his heart was filled with compassion. And he ran to him. And he put his arms around him and he kissed him. And the son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to the servant, "Quick, bring a robe and put it on him. Bring a ring and put it on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. And then go and kill the fatted calf. Because this, my son, was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found." So they started to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older brother was out in the field. And as he came near to the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. And he said, "Your brother's come home. And your father has killed the fatted calf because he's so happy to have him safe and sound." And he became angry. And he refused to go in. So the father went out to him and began to plead with him. And he said, "Look, for all these years, I have worked for you like a slave. And I've never disobeyed a command. And yet you didn't even give me so much as a goat to celebrate with my friends. And now this son of yours, who has spent all of your property on prostitutes, comes home and you slay the fatted calf for him." And his father said, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. But we have to celebrate because this brother of yours was dead, and now he's come back to life. He was lost, and now he is found." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We call this the story of the prodigal son. And it makes us forget that there's actually two sons. It's about both of them. Because they're both lost. Like the story of the sheep and the story of the coin. This is a story about two lost sons, and they're both lost in the same way because they're both exactly like each other. It's just that one is here and one is there. They both cut themselves off from their father. They both decide that what they really want is not their father, but just his inheritance. The younger son says, "Give me my part of the inheritance. Give it to me now." And even when he comes back, he doesn't say, "Dad, I miss you. I'm sorry. I've hurt you. I've broken your heart. I'm lonely. I want your love." He just says, "I want lunch. Hire me." And the older son is no better. He complains to his dad and says, "I've worked like a slave and you didn't even give me a goat. I want my goat. Where's my goat?" Yeah, we're kind of like that. We often forget God until we need something. And usually our prayers are something about, "Help me through this. Fix my problem. Make it better. I need something." How often do we pray, "God, I want you. I love you. I want to be with you." Both of them not only cut themselves off from their father, they cut themselves off from being a part of the family. In running away, it's pretty obvious. It's a pretty clear way to distance yourself. But even when he comes back, he's thinking, "I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. I'll just be a hired hand." He's just decided to remove himself from the family. So has the older son. All these years, he said, "I worked for you like a slave." Not a son. A slave. And then he says of his dear lost brother, "That son of yours," as if he's not related. Both of those boys cut themselves off from the rest of the family. Yeah, we're like that. We have some ideas about what's deserved, what's fair, what's been earned, what's right. And we have some ideas about those times when we feel like we don't deserve it or we do deserve it. And it separates us from other people because there's all those people who deserve more than I do. Or there's all those people who don't deserve as much as I do. We pray like that when we say, "So I've said all these prayers. How come you didn't answer my prayer?" As if my prayers are somehow more important than somebody else's. And we cut ourselves off from one another when we get wrapped up in these ideas of what's fair and what's deserved and who gets what, and we start separating ourselves. And then what matters to me just simply is more important than what matters to you, and what matters to you doesn't matter to me because of my feelings about who deserves what. Boy, do we ever sound like that older brother in this country as we talk about immigrants. Here I am, all legal, and I have a passport, and I have my citizenship, and I've been working hard and paying my taxes. And these people come in illegally, and they want the same jobs and the same benefits. Well, that's not fair. That's the older brother at work there, isn't it? Yeah, we're like that. We cut ourselves off, not only from God, but from each other. And we won't go into the party. There's a celebration going on, and we don't want to go in. It's not really about the prodigal son. It's about both those sons. In fact, what does that word prodigal mean? We have this weird sort of overlay that we put on top of all of our religious beliefs. It's this old cranky notion that you're a terrible sinner and you need to come back to God like that younger son. So there's something sort of overwhelming about that notion of sin. So prodigal must mean bad. You know what the word prodigal means? It means extravagantly generous. Because in the old way of talking, that boy went to the foreign country and he just wasted all his money. But who is prodigal and wasteful in this story? It's the father. He treats both of those boys equally with love and forgiveness and ridiculous generosity. Absolutely absurd, wanton liberality of generosity. His younger son comes to him and says, "Dad, read me the will. I want my part of the inheritance." And his dad says, "Okay, fine, here." And he gives it to him. And when he comes back, he says, "Oh, I'm so glad you're back. Let's have a party." And when the older son is all snarky and resentful, the father son says, "That's okay. We're still having a party. And I want you to come in." The father has to treat both of those boys in all these ways that they distance themselves, and they're exactly the same. He has to go out to both of them, whether in the field or on the road. He's the one that's got to make the initiative. Both of those boys make their little speeches about what's fair, and he interrupts both of them and tells them he doesn't care what's fair. He's only interested in what's generous and loving and fun. Both of them try to separate themselves from the family, and he takes both of them back into the family. The younger son, he says, put a robe on his back and put a ring on his finger. Because just like a wedding ring, that ring isn't just decoration. That's not just jewelry. That says, you are mine. You belong. No way in heck am I treating you like a hired hand. You're my son. And then he does the same thing to the older son. When he says, I worked for you like a slave and this son of yours wasted all that money. And the father says, you think you worked for me like a slave and not a son? But you are my son. Son, I am always with you. You are always with me. You can't get out of this. And he corrects him when he says, that son of yours that wasted all this money? The father says, this brother of yours. You belong. He reinstates both of them back into the family. And he invites both of them to the party. It's a celebration. It's the father who is prodigal with love, who gives prodigious amounts of forgiveness and generosity, who is a prodigy of grace. There's somebody else in that story. It's not just about the two sons and the father, who, of course, is God. Because God is so much like that. all of the ways that we distance ourselves moment by moment. All the ways that we forget God. All the ways that we separate ourselves from other people. God takes us right back in. And there is no judgment. There is none in that whole story. There's no sorrow. There's no father being disappointed by his sons, even though they're both pretty disappointing. There's only joy and generosity. Of course, there's somebody else in that story. That's us. Think of that part of yourself that's not very lovely. Think of those parts of yourself that aren't anything to brag about in front of God. Those parts that you're not very happy about, God probably isn't very happy about. The messed up parts of you. That's the younger son in you. And God loves you. Think of those people that are hard to love. People that annoy you or offend you. People that frighten you. People that threaten you. Maybe people who have hurt you. Maybe people who have deeply wounded you. It's hard to feel like they deserve your love. That's the older son in you. And God loves you. No judgment. Just forgiveness. Just a plea to come in to the celebration. Maybe this is not just a story about how we're so much like those sons and we should stop being like that. It's also a story about how we are created to be like that Father. That's who we're created to be. Because we're made in the image of God, who is our mother, our Father. We are invited to be the prodigal people of God, liberally, extravagantly, wantonly, totally generous with all of our love, just loving everybody indiscriminately without any hesitation to determine who's worthy and who isn't, just throwing it all away, wasting it on people who are completely unlovable. All of it, throwing it all away, spending every last penny of God's love because it's infinite. And all that God has is ours. It might seem like if you love all those people who are so hard to love, that would be a sort of miserable job. But look at that Father. He is one happy dude. He is joyful from the beginning of that story to the end. He's never in a crappy mood. He's even when he's longing for his sons. I don't know, maybe he walks the fence line every day. Jesus says, when that young son was still far off, you know how far I think it was? At the border of that other country. I don't think he sat at home. I think he was out there looking for that boy that he loved. Because he loved him, not because he was miserable. And the older son, there's no misery. There's just welcome, son. All I have is yours. You're always with me. Come in. He is a happy man. It's all about celebration. Sometimes we might think, well, yeah, but if I love that much, it's going to deplete me, right? If I love that much, aren't I going to start to feel miserable after a while loving all these people who are beneath me? Yeah. That'll happen. If you love deeply, you will be brokenhearted. If you love people who don't deserve to be loved, you will be down among the scum. That's true. That's what the cross means. You won't just get hurt. You'll be crucified. You'll die, and there will be nothing left of you. Except this infinite immortal love of God that is in you. And when there's nothing to you except what's immortal, then you are raised to new life. And that can happen over and over and over. You are resurrected. Then it's not that son who came back from the distant country. It's you who were dead and now you're alive. And then all of life is this table. All of life is this feast, this celebration. All of life is a resurrection. And no matter what your sorrows and losses are, there will be no deeper joy. When we are the prodigal lovers of God, it's all a party. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your infinite love. You understand the pain that makes the younger son run away, and the fear, the anger that makes the older son resentful. And you heal us and you forgive us. Help us to receive your infinite love so that we too, in your spirit, might be your prodigal lovers. God of grace, we thank you for your love. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.